Hallelujah. What's the title of today's message, saints? Following the treasure. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, challenge each and every one of us here to become the man, woman, boy, girl of God that you desire for each of us to be, that Jesus may be exalted in our lives. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, I'll ask you some questions today. There's no trick questions, so just feel free to answer. Have you ever purchased a car, and after you bought it, it seemed like almost everywhere you go, you see your car? Ever bought an outfit, and before you know it, you see it coming at you again and again? Or a pair of sneakers. Oh, she's so exquisite with what she buys. Praise God. I can remember when we first started to look for another house to move out of East Cleveland, I could spot a for sale sign a mile away. Each day I looked in the papers, I compared housing prices. Each Sunday, I checked to see what houses in all of the different parts of the city sold for. Each day, I looked to see what the interest rates were on a regular basis. Now, do you know why we notice those cars that we hadn't noticed before? Or we notice those clothes we hadn't seen before? Or why I was so busy keeping up with the housing market? It was because we had put a part of our treasure there. And wherever our treasure is, we get concerned. We like to think that where our heart is, our treasure will be also. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. Does not matter how much we own or how little we own, whatever makes up our treasure is going to determine just how big of a heart we have. Our treasure is going to determine where our hearts will go. Now, in our Old Testament reading, we find a group of people who just a few months earlier had been set free as slaves out of Egypt. God had done all kinds of miraculous things in order to set them free. And as a matter of fact, when he told them to get ready to leave and get out of Egypt, God so touched the hearts of the Egyptians that God said, ask the Egyptians for anything you want and they'll give it to you. So they asked their former masters for gold, for silver, for jewelry. And the Egyptians were so eager to get them and God out of their country, they just said, here, take the stuff and go. And they were gone. Now, Moses was leading the people at this time. And God told Moses to build this portable tabernacle, which was like a church that you could break down, move it somewhere else, put it back together again for however long God wanted it to stay in a certain place. And God then told Moses to tell the people, he says, let those who are willing make a donation of gold, silver, cloth, and more for the tabernacle. Now, God was giving the people a chance to demonstrate where their hearts were by what they did with the treasure they had been blessed to receive. Now, I want you to realize these people are out in the desert. They don't know where their next money or income or whatever is coming from. They had been slaves. They had nothing. All of a sudden, they were blessed. There's no guarantee they're going to get any more. But these people were so grateful for what God had done for them that they gave so much in donations and so much in their service that the people told Moses, Moses, you got to do something. The people are bringing in too much. Stop them. Constrain them from bringing anything else. That is the dream of every pastor. Ushers, sit down. You got too much in there. You can't even carry the buckets down as they are. So far, I haven't met a pastor yet who had that experience, but I'm praying for it. These people's hearts and their treasures were not only in the same place, but their treasures were subordinate to their desire to bless God. So often, often, how many of y'all pray in your prayers, and Lord, bless so-and-so, 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 and you get to the end, and it usually ends in a two-letter word, and Lord, bless me. Okay, just making sure I was talking to people who prayed like that. Okay, now, do you also realize that not only do we ask God to bless us, the scripture says that we are to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now, you can bless the Lord with praise. Scripture says, bring into the house of the Lord a sacrifice of praise. So when you run into people who say, I just come to church for the word, I don't need all that singing stuff, you're not being scriptural. Because when are you offering the Lord a sacrifice of praise? And God said to bless him. We also bless the Lord with our service, where we commit, God, I'm doing this for you. No strings attached. I'm not asking for anything in return. That's why we ask for volunteers. And we bless the Lord with our giving. That's why we take up offerings. You know, I find it interesting in Scripture that God, whenever he seeks an offering, he always says, those who are willing. He always says, those who are willing. And if you look at Scripture, there is never a punishment mandated for those who were not willing. I think the reason why is this. I think God wants to deal with us one-on-one, face-to-face, when it comes to our greed and selfishness in our relationship to him. I think God says, I take this personally. Because even when we are stingy, God still allows the sun to warm us, still allows food to feed us, still allows health to remain in our bodies. So I think God's going to say, you and I'll talk about that when we just, the two of us. Now, in our New Testament reading, we find a guy that was in a position that we would all like to be in at one time or another in our lives. This guy found out that at the end of the year, he had a whole lot more money than he had bills. For most of us, it's the other way around. We have a whole lot more bills than we have money, but not him. As a matter of fact, his bank vault was already full of money, and more money is about to come in, and he doesn't have any place to put it. Man, I would have loved to have given him a business card. He comes up with this great perspective on what to do with his money. He says, I know what I'll do. I will build bigger vaults to fit my money in. And he even pats himself on the back and says, buddy, you got plenty of years laid up to just enjoy life. You're going to have yourself a really, really good time. Just push the cruise control button. How many of you would like to be in that position? You just push cruise control. Evelyn, be there, tell Pastor Rick he can call if he won't. I ain't coming in. I'm on cruise control. Where was this guy's treasure? Where was his heart? There's only one thing wrong with this guy's plan, and that is he had forgotten that his life was not in his own hands. His life was in the hands of God. God gave him life, and God had already decided that tonight was going to be his last night. The very night he was boasting about how many future years he was going to have was going to be his last night. None of his treasure was going to do him any good. How many of you are 100% certain that last night wasn't your last night to sleep. Not a single one of us. Now, you discover where a person's heart is by what they do with their treasure. We are told to honor the Lord with the first portions of what we receive. How many of you recognize it is a privilege to honor the Lord? Everybody doesn't get that opportunity to honor the Lord. And you know what? When you honor the Lord, God just can't wait to do something in return for you. He's just saying, try me. Just try me and see if I won't do something. There is not a sacrifice that you make or a gift that you give that God doesn't notice. Now, there are some people who teach God wants every Christian to be rich. Now, either I'm not a Christian or they wrong. I don't believe that God wants every Christian to be rich. I believe God wants every Christian to be generous. You see, you can be generous regardless of your level of income. All it means is if I got something, you can get some of it too. That's all it takes to be generous. Now let's suppose for a moment that you and your best friend both received a large box of money. It's upstairs in a room, and you put your name on yours and your friend's name on your friend's box. And when people came over to your house and said they had such and such a need, you would say, well, all right, let me see if I can help you. And you'd go upstairs and you'd look at the name on the box and you'd reach in there, grab some money, take it down, and give it to the person. Or when you found yourself with your own need, you go up there and reach your hand in the box and grab some money. And then one day your friend, and people just thank you for being so kind, so wonderful, so loving, so generous in every day. And then one day your friend says, you know what? I'm going to go up there and get my money. I'm just going to blow it. And your friend goes upstairs and says, where's my money? He says, I couldn't believe it. I only had a little bit left. And your box was full. And you say, I knew you was just going to blow that money. So I spent it being generous. Were you generous or were you stealing? Let me ask that question again. Were you generous or were you stealing? Some of y'all getting a generous thief. I don't think that counts. I don't think that counts in God's God's kingdom. Let me ask you this then. If we take what God has said is his and we do other things with it, even good things, are we being a good Christian or are we stealing? I'll leave that on up to you. God has a system whereby which we can learn to be generous. God says, of all that I bless you with, just give me a tithe of it. That means just give me a penny out of a dime. I don't believe there's a soul here who would refuse to give God a penny out of 10 pennies if that's all you had. I just don't believe it. I believe most of y'all would get so big as give it, take the whole thing. Now, last week, Pastor Toby asked for you to take out a peanut and to represent how much you were going to give to God. Some of y'all brought the whole bag and threw it in here. That means you was giving your whole paycheck this week. I can't wait to see what you did. Okay, you were supposed to be taking out a percentage. That's why you had 10 peanuts in there. God says, just give me a dime out of a dollar. And you know what? I'll bless you with more than what you could have done with the 90% if you had kept the 100%. Now, at this point, every one of us as a Christian have to decide, can we trust God to do the right thing with our money? How many of y'all believe we cannot trust God to do the right thing? We can't trust him. Y'all got to make this decision on what are we going to do with our treasure. You know, most Christians would rather trust God to heal them of cancer than to trust God to be faithful with a tie. Money is our greatest threat in our relationship to God, because money can, in fact, become a god. And if our treasure is not turned over to God, we are not going to grow in our love for the Lord. We are not going to make the kinds of changes in our lives that God calls us to make. For Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then he says, you cannot serve both God and money. In other words, your trust and your faith, my trust and my faith, is either in God or it's in money. Do you believe that God is good enough and loving enough to want to bless you? You see, if you say, no, I don't believe that, well, you can go on to sleep. I ain't talking to you during the rest of this sermon. But for those of you who do believe God wants to bless you, I want us to get away of this idea of thinking that somehow God does not want us to enjoy life. God does want you to enjoy life. But sometimes we shortchange ourselves into thinking what it means to enjoy life. To enjoy life is not necessarily having the right car with all the gizmos. I still haven't figured out why anybody needs 6 DVD screens in their car. Sound to me like an accident waiting to happen. To enjoy life is not necessarily having the right designer clothes or the right home or the right neighborhood or any of that stuff. You know what? I have found almost every material thing we get, at some point, the time will come when we'll say, I sure wish I hadn't got this thing. What is it to enjoy life? To enjoy life is to have the favor of God upon your life. Because when you got the favor of God on you, God prevents things from happening to us that we didn't even know was coming our way. Now, every now and then, God is going to send some headache into our lives just to show us we cannot trust ourselves and our great plans for the future. When we trust in our money, we got our feet on some slippery rocks. We may be standing, but for how long? Now, if you're scared to trust the Old Testament, are you at least willing to trust what Jesus had to say? Jesus says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Does that sound like God is trying to keep you from having stuff? Not at all. Do you also see that God gives us a choice in this matter? He says, the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, what have we missed out on because of our unwillingness to give as God asks us to do? What have we left behind without even knowing it? Now, is there anybody here who one day wants to be able to stand before God and says, God, I never gave a tithe my entire life, and I'm proud of it? Anybody here been here 18 years? I've seen people live and die in the church. Some of them there the whole time never once gave a tithe, at least not to Glenville. Giving to God of our tithes and our offerings is directly related to our trust in God and his faithfulness to fulfill the promise he has given to us. It does not matter which type of church you are in. The vast majority of Christians who go to church, their attitude toward giving is, if there is something left over, then I will see what I can do. Every Christian should be a part of a local church. I don't know anything about these long range of Christians, saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, but they don't go to church. not scriptural, not biblical, not, I don't know how you'd be a part of the body of Christ all by yourself. Everybody ought to be a part of a church. Everybody ought to support the church. Why? Because people need the Lord. And God has told us to reach people. Now, what has God done through the work of ministry at Glenville New Life Community Church? There are a whole lot of people who think church only consists of coming in here on Sunday morning, sitting down, listening, going home, hopefully come back the next week. Church is a whole lot more than morning worship services. What have we done? We as a church, we have provided jobs, safe summer for hundreds of kids in this community. We have served countless number of families in their crisis, in the death of their loved ones. We have helped families stay together in some unbelievable circumstances. We have helped people get their lights turned back on. We've helped them get their gas turned back on in the winter. We have been instrumental, there's a testimony over there, instrumental in turning people to Christ away from drugs and alcohol. We have produced college graduates, high school graduates year after year. We have seen people's lives changed in more ways than you could imagine. We have put food on the table for Thanksgiving, for Christmases, for people in the church, in the community. We've put gifts under trees. We've helped people in emergency situations through fires, through loss of jobs. We have kept people out of jail, ministered to people in jail, helped people coming out of jail. We send forth the word of God 17 different times a week with our broadcast. We have a web ministry that reaches around the world. We make a difference in the lives of children in Nigeria in the Rotulu Children's Home. We make a difference in children's lives in Haiti and the Poor People's Project that we sponsor. We equip the saints with the knowledge of the Word of God to make a difference in their own lives and also in the lives of others. We are there with people in the hospitals. Our deacons serve the least of these in their ministry. We've kept people from being evicted from their homes. We've provided clothes. We've supplied school supplies. We've provided all kind of counseling to help people keep their lives together. We've provided short-term loans to keep people from going to these payday lenders. We've provided our youth with all kinds of special activities. We give them messages of hope, messages of sexual purity, moral values that they're not getting anywhere else. We provide opportunities for friendship and for fellowship. We've provided you with a sanctuary on which you can be proud of that was warm today. I don't see too many of y'all putting your coats on. It's cool in August. We have kept current with technology to reach a technological world. And we have provided you with leaders that are accountable to others and got moral and financial integrity. We have had dedicated staff been willing to go years without raises in order for us to keep on doing what we're doing in the name of Christ. And we have provided all of what we do to all of us who are part of this congregation, regardless of our social or economic status. The poorest among us receive the same quality of service at funerals as the richest among us. We don't ever, when it comes to a funeral, say, well, let's see, how much do they give? Well, this is a potato chip meal here. We don't do that. We just demonstrate the love of God however it needs to be demonstrated. For we have been one in Christ. You can see on paper and in lives where every one of the tithes and offerings we receive have gone. Our books are fully opened at any time to anybody that's a member. Now, with all that we have done, today we find ourselves at a crossroads as a church. Our financial giving has dropped to the point where we must decide. Will we let people go, or will we rise up and give as we are capable of doing? You know, for the past 18 years, it's been Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. Those two names have gone together like peanut butter and jelly. Bonnie and Clyde, sister and brother. You say Glenville New Life Community Church to people out on the street. Oh, that's Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. But the enemy seeks to end that partnership. We have been voting with our dollars to eliminate one of our pastors. Who are you voting to keep? Who are you voting to let go? Well, she's much better looking to watch preaching, and he does know a little bit about something. I don't know what I'm going to do. How much is either pastor worth to you? Or both of them? You know, as your pastors, we can honestly say, we have given you the very best years of our lives. And we did it gratefully, and we did it happily, and we did it thankfully. We gave up other opportunities because we believed in you as a church, and we still do. We believe in what God wants to do through Glenville. This has been a great and generous church. And we have tried to lead by example in making sacrifices for the cause of ministry of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. I can remember one day when we preached a message and we talked about the sacrifices that we had made toward the New Life Center, which enabled us to give like $40,000 to the New Life Center. And we did sacrifice. And somebody came up and said, "Well, wow, if y'all gave that much money, I can cut my offering to the pastor's full-time offering." And the person did. We cannot control who comes and who leaves our church. We cannot control who gets mad at each other and stop giving to the church altogether. We cannot control who cuts their offerings to buy a new house or a new car. We can only do the things that God has called us to do. Now, if you're going to get mad at the church because there's backstabbers and there's gossipers that you suspect, let me tell you this. There's a whole lot more other things we got in the church. Let me ask you this. How many of you end your prayers or have in your prayers, "And Lord, forgive me for what I did today"? Okay, look at these hands, because these people doing some stuff that they weren't supposed to be doing. Sure, we got some backstabbers and some gossipers. Every church got some backstabbers and gossipers. Why? Because every church got people trying to grow in Christ. I don't think there's a single one of us here who can stand up and say, "I've reached perfection." If you have, I need to sit down and let you get up here right now. What does our church need? Our church needs more of us to be obedient with our giving. Now, if you done got yourself so far in debt that you want to tithe, but feel like the bill man is going to come, then I challenge you to show your faith by looking at the non-essentials in your life and say, "I'll give that one up. I'll give that one up, and I'll start moving in that direction." Even you who are youth, you shouldn't let the plate pass you week after week without putting anything in. If you get a dollar a week allowance, 10 cents belongs to the Lord. Those of us who have allowed our treasure to be wrapped up in the material things of this world, we need to let our treasure to be influenced more by the work of Christ and less by the advertising industry. You know, chances are, collectively as a body, we'll probably spend more on Christmas than we'll spend on 3 months' offerings. We can all increase our giving by being more obedient in sharing our faith with others who in turn can share the financial cost of ministry. Part of sharing Jesus without fear is reaching people for Christ. Also, part of it is becoming a stronger, healthier church to be able to do more reaching people with Christ. The Word of God says, if we sow a spiritual benefit into a person's life, then we ought to reap a material benefit from the person to support the work of the ministry. Otherwise, that person may not have ever gotten saved in the first place. Those of us who are already tithing, I want you to know you're already among our most generous givers. But we need even you to go beyond the tithe, because many of those who aren't giving aren't going to be moved at all by what I said. They are not going to allow Christ to influence their treasures, because their hearts will stay in the land of materialism with a false sense of being a faithful servant of God. Some of them are going to move, but not all. The real issue is, how big is Christ in your life? You see, I'm convinced that if our God is small, we're not going to be able to be free to be generous. Because we're not going to be convinced that God is able to safely hold us in his hands and to meet our needs, and that God is capable of doing everything that we need him to do. So if I wake up in the morning with a small God, then there are consequences to how I live. I'll live in a state of anxiety because I believe everything depends on me and my ability to get and to do. I won't know my needs are taken care of. When we shrink God, we shrink the possibilities of what God can do in and through us. God is far stronger than we think. God took this church from being a church that was about to close due to financial problems. And in one point in our history, we were the second highest per member giving African American Presbyterian church in the denomination. What's keeping us from regaining our position and becoming one, number one? Not so much for ourselves, but for the glory of God. Have you ever had a vision of, God, I want to be able to give you X amount? All of us. And let it be something realistic, and don't base it on the lottery. Base it on what you have. You know, I believe that we are on the verge of winning more people to Christ than we ever had before. I think what we're going through is part of the attack of the enemy. And I say, let's not let the enemy undercut us by choosing to let someone else have to pay our part. Today is the day for us to rise up and choose Christ. I encourage you to vote to keep the pastoral team that God has set in place and build to increase the team we already have. You know, when we invest our money into something material, we immediately get a reward. We get that thing. But when we invest in the kingdom of God, Jesus says, there's treasure waiting for us beyond our wildest imaginations. I'd like to believe that God has something more exciting for me than what I could find at Micro Center, Walmart, or Best Buy. Plus, God has already promised when we do give, not only is there treasure there, he rewards us here on earth as well. Now this week, Wednesday, we have a day of fasting and prayer. I want you to start fasting at 7 o'clock Wednesday morning, and the fast will end at 9 o'clock after we conclude the prayer service. We're in a crisis, church. How many of y'all can we depend on to show up to pray us through the beginning of this crisis Wednesday at 7:30? Stand to your feet if we can know. So I'll know who to be expecting. I know some of you have to work, and that's fine. But I just want to know, because I don't want to come in here crying and say, oh, Lord, I'm giving up. God is ready to move us into the promised land. Are we willing to put our hearts where our treasure is? Amen. Let's pray. God, move upon us to be a gracious God.